The former acting inspector general at the Department of Homeland Security, Charles Edwards, is now on administrative leave following the release of a Senate subcommittee report indicating Edwards jeopardized the independence of the IG office. Edwards resigned as acting IG in December. He was reassigned to DHS's Science and Technology Directorate. He was investigated by the Senate for possible nepotism, being too familiar with DHS officials and seeking legal advice in the wrong places. Investigators substantiated some of those allegations and found inconclusive evidence on some other counts. Danielle Bryan is the executive director of the Project on Government Oversight, and she joins us now to talk about this case. Danielle, thanks a lot for doing this. Welcome to Federal News Radio.
Thanks so much.
So we know from the report that at least on some occasions the, you know, the final versions of DHS IG reports were watered down. Some of the more damning conclusions about programs and leaders at DHS were held back, allegedly at Davis's direction. But in a broader sense, how concerned should we be about the overall work product that came out of the office during this time period? Because the report paints a pretty dysfunctional picture of the office.
It does. Well, I mean, on the bright side, of course, they've since appointed a permanent IG in that office. So I'm less concerned about that particular office, but what I think is a tremendous issue that we need to be looking at moving forward is what are we doing when we allow acting IGs to sit in that spot for many months and in some cases many years at a time, where their incentive is to do exactly what we saw the subcommittee found Edwards was doing, which was currying favor with the management in order to possibly get that coveted position with their support. That, I think, is something that sort of begins this conversation. I think that's where we should be looking.
Yeah, and it also was happening at a time when the senior management ranks at DHS and the secretariat's office were not all filled. There were some serious gaps there, which may have led to the delay in appointing a permanent IG.
I think that's part of it. But we saw, you know, for the last few years, we've had a huge problem with vacancies at the IG. So you had these acting in State Department, for example, for over 4 years. And we saw exactly these types of things happening at DOD and the State Department as well, where an acting IG has made it known that they would like to be, you know, the permanent IG. And then you start to find the incentive is clearly for that acting to do what they think their management would like them to do, because the management of the agency, of course, has a big role in deciding who is ultimately appointed to that position. In this case, with DHS, they found a couple of examples where the management actually asked for these changes to be made, and they went ahead and did it, which I think is really outrageous.
Well, is that routine to happen in any agency for the management to push back and under normal circumstances the IG would just say no?
Or that's exactly right. I mean, what is routine is for management to try to make their agency look as good as possible. So you expect that from the management. But what you also should expect from an IG is for them saying, no, I'm not going to change my findings. And in this report, you found a case where a mid-level management person at the IG's office said, absolutely not, we're not going to change this. But the acting overruled that decision, and that's exactly why he should have been removed from that position.
Well, and one of the things that the Senate subcommittee pointed out was that Mr. Edwards appeared to not have any background whatsoever in doing audits, investigations, anything that an IG's office is typically responsible for. Is that in and of itself disqualifying? Is that one factor here?
We certainly have supported over time the idea that there be a better vetting process for prospective IGs, and that has been an ongoing thing now for the last few years, where they are actually the Council of IGs is vetting prospects for sort of basic skill sets. But you know, you really need to have someone who embraces the mission of an IG, which is an unusual mission where you have to be okay with making enemies.
I don't think we know for sure whether or not DHS leadership had any idea of the scope and scale of the problems in the IG's office during this period. But if they did, was it their responsibility to deal with that? I mean, because that's a fine line, isn't it?
That
in order to maintain the independence of the IG's office, if you just fire the guy, it might look like you're retaliating because you don't like a report that he's doing or the oversight of your agency.
Course. Well, first of all, I think it's unrealistic to expect any agency management to say, you know, I really wish my IG was more aggressive and more independent.
Right.
I wish we lived in that world, but we just don't. But where I do think there is a failing is for the oversight committees that are responsible for this jurisdiction. jurisdiction. They should be the ones who are noticing it. You know, remember, IGs report both, unusually, they report both to the management of their agency, but also to the Congress. And this is where it's so important from our perspective that the Congress be paying attention to the quality of the IG of the agencies that they're overseeing. And this is where I think they needed to do a better job.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, this report was a product of a congressional subcommittee, but it, as a result of a lot of whistleblowers going to that committee, is that the way that this should have played out, or are there administrative routes where a problem in an IG's office could or should be taken care of, I guess is what I'm getting
at. Well, there is an administrative process that involves the Integrity Committee of the Council of IGs, but that's very tedious and it's very opaque. So I could see how people aren't going to turn to that and expect anything to happen quickly with a bad IG. I think you're pointing to a really good point, which is the Senate subcommittee, in this case it was Senator McCaskill and ranking member Senator Johnson, did exactly what you want the Senate to do. You know, they did a thorough investigation when whistleblowers came to them. So that's a good news story, is that, you know, in the end of the day, we know about this because not only did they do this report, but they were dogging the system earlier in the Senate side and raised the concerns that led to his being removed from that position.
Let me go back to where I started with this, which was the work product of the office under Mr. Edwards' leadership. I mean, we know that there's a substantial amount of evidence that some of these reports were tainted to one degree or another. Do those investigations or audits need to be reopened and redone?
The truth is, you know, I don't know how essential those audits were. If policy is being changed because of them, then yes, of course, I think that does have to happen. I don't know that that's the case. Sadly, much of what IGs do isn't cause for change you know, in policy. So I wouldn't recommend redoing something that may not be actually having much of an impact in the first place.
Understood. Danielle Bryan, Executive Director of the Project on Government Oversight. Appreciate your insight on this.
Thanks so much for having me.